DrawnByJohn.com presents We Got the Geeks Comic Panel.
All right, welcome to another episode of the Comic Panel, and I'm pleased to welcome back to the show our good friend Hunter.
I am pleased to be welcomed back.
Nice. We had some stuff to get to. We have some comics-related stories and lots of reviews, but I have to start the show off with hearing Hunter's Age of Ultron rant.
Oh, man. All right, this is really where we're going to start, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because, wow, you were certainly leading up to nothing and still blew me away with how terrible of an ending that is.
Yep.
So, to anybody that has not read the last two issues or so, well, sorry, but I'm going to just go off on this thing here.
Spoiler alert.
So, the last time I was on and we were talking about this, I told you they gave away the ending to it.
Mm-hmm.
In the, like, third-to-last comic. And I was right.
You were
definitely
right.
Because they came back, and they're like, yep, I totally know how to fix this. And it didn't quite happen the way I expected it to, with Wolverine going back in time and talking to himself. I was expecting kind of, you know, a fight or something interesting.
Yeah.
Wolverine talking to himself. Not really the most eloquent of characters.
In his original pussycat costume.
Yes, because that happened to be the only thing Nick Fury had kicking around.
Yeah. And
I'm sorry, the only thing I could think of in that is, does Nick Fury just, like, kick around the house dressed up like classic Wolverine? Tonight, I'm going to fight the Hulk! Like, but, like, so he goes back in time, he stops himself from killing Henry Pym, and whoops the Sue Storm over the head and be like, I stopped you from killing him. What? Be like, no, trust me, I'm from the future, but the further future from you. Like, it sounded like the plot, like, bad time travel cartoons, where it's like, oh, yeah. I'm you from 5 minutes from now. Don't do that at all. Wait, I'm him from 10 minutes from his future. No, do it. Like,
yeah.
And it all sort of culminates with, like, going back, Wolverine killing himself, killing further future Wolverine, because I've seen too much.
Yeah.
And I don't want to see anything, because why would you want the guy who's seen more to be able to go, no, you don't want to do that shit. We don't want to see that. But, and then we just sort of get this ending where Ultron comes back.
Finally.
Ultron comes back and is actually in his own comic.
Yeah.
In the last issue.
For a very small, lame fight.
For a tiny, lame fight where Tony Stark and friggin' Henry Pym argue like somebody's trying to download from Netscape and the other one's using the phone. And so, it seems like I could have seen that go if that had also been the beginning of the series. Like, if you had shown that fight, but them losing it at the very beginning of the series, set that tone,
mm-hmm.
and show us, this is how we got to the Age of Ultron. Or, like, start with the Age of Ultron the way it was. Like, the last splash pages of seeing, like, Captain America, like, huddled in the fetal position with a broken shield. That was a good, like, oomph to start with, but yeah, like, I feel like if you could have shown us this the first time around and shown us how it didn't happen, or, like, how it went wrong, and then we get to go back and fix it, I think would have been sort of, like, sort of Back to the Future-ish, where you see, like, Doc Brown get shot in the parking lot. And you go back and you see, and oh, okay, this is how it changed now, this time around.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Okay, so it's just anticlimactic, because it's like, it felt like all the heavy hitters, like Iron Man, Ms. Marvel, and Thor, just sort of play pinball with Ultron for a little while,
mm-hmm.
while they download, like, a virus into him. So, but then we get the big FU to the Marvel Universe.
Yes.
Which is, well, we've time traveled too much.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I guess we broke space and time. Oops, our fault. And I'm like, okay, I guess we've traveled a lot. I guess the X-Men over there have been doing some time traveling of their own recently. Yeah. They're probably not helping the situation. But we've got this big, like, oh, you broke the space-time continuum. Oh, really? Are we all doomed? Nah, it just might mean some universes do things to each other. Oh. So it's not bad or anything? I don't know. Do you know? No, I don't know. It's just different. And, I mean, to be fair, I saw the splash page, Miles Morales, seeing the shadow of Galactus, and I'm like, that looks like it's going to be good.
I like your comment. Can I read that one instead?
Yeah, I'm gonna read that comic. That one, like, that two-page spread. I'm like, oh, man. Because I know, like, almost all the heroes in the Ultimate Universe are already dead. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'm like, who the hell have you got to fight Galactus? Does Galactus just win? So, I will probably check out the Hunger storyline.
Yeah, definitely.
And then in the big final, I summed it up as the last issue of this is just helping Neil Gaiman give a big middle finger over to Todd McFarlane.
Oh, you're talking about Angela.
I am talking about Angela. So on the very last section of the page, one of the consequences of too much time traveling and universes crashing into each other is that a character from Spawn is now in the Marvel Universe. I'm going to give you a second to do your spit take or gasp and hyperventilate because it's so shocking and wonderful. But no, anybody that was following along, for anybody that doesn't care, Neil Gaiman came up with this character when he was writing Spawn. He got into a legal dispute with Todd McFarlane and said, hey, Angela belongs to me. Todd McFarlane's like, no, you wrote it for my book. It belongs to me, like it's in my universe. And he went, no! It belongs to me, and they went into a slap fest for a little while until eventually, out of the three characters that Gaiman created, I believe it was Angela, Medieval Spawn, and I think it was Malvolgia, they gave him credit for Angela and said, okay, you can do whatever the hell you want with it. And Marvel's like, well, why not? And now she's apparently in the Marvel Universe with an ominous, I have no idea what happened, but I'm mad and I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a, if you knew who she was, you got a, oh, okay, sure. And if you had no idea who she was, you're like, the hell? What? All right, whatever. And you just kind of moved on and nothing really happened, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like this all got hyped up to unbelievable heights and then pussied out and went, no, I can't jump from this high. I'm going to climb down and jump from one of the lower ledges.
Yeah. It started off so strong, too.
That's what I mean. Like, those first two issues where you get the image of a broken Captain America and then him standing up going, oh, I've got a plan. Like, all right. You've got my attention. Like, we had to rescue Spider-Man.
There was too many issues, I thought, about that alternate reality where,
well,
what were they, the Defenders?
Yeah, there was, like, three alternate realities, because you've got, like, the alternate reality of the, where Ultron wins, and then we've got this alternate reality where we killed Hank Pym.
Yeah.
And then we've got the reality where, no, we didn't, but that's cool, we got a virus, like.
Yeah.
I mean, it seemed like they wanted
to be 10 issues.
It seemed like they wanted to be Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
And didn't read Age of Apocalypse.
Yeah.
Because Age of Apocalypse, you start in the real world, you see the change happen, and then you get to spend the next few issues going, okay, how the hell are they going to fix this? And it was the same sort of thing with House of M.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you see how things changed in the House of M.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, how are they going to fix this? Because you've got characters that know something is wrong. Whereas this, everybody's just like, oh, I guess we're fucked. What can we do? Let's time travel, because that works. Why not? So,
yeah. I don't even remember. Did they show, remember there was that other group that time traveled into the future? Did they show any of that?
They showed them, and they all got killed.
Oh, okay. I couldn't even remember
that.
Yeah,
they all showed up, and then they all got killed in, like, 30 seconds to a bunch of, like, Super Ultron robots. It was, like, issue 5 or something. And then at the end of that issue, Wolverine's just like, well, that probably didn't work. Now I'm going to do my plan. Like,
oh, jeez.
Because, yeah, it was Nick Fury, Iron Man, Hulk, and I think it was, like, Captain America or something. They all went to the future to try and...
I think, like, I blocked it out.
Yeah, it was just that bad. Like, yeah, because I guess then you get, like, a fourth timeline because you've got further into the future of the Age of Ultra. Wow, you guys, like... No, it was just bad. If you haven't read it, stay away. If you have read it, don't bother finishing it.
You know what? It's actually turned me off the next big crossover, Infinity.
Well, what the the next one's Infinity, which I assume, like, it's got to be Thanos.
It is.
It's going to be tied into the movie somehow. It depends how they do it. Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet have come back a bunch of times. I don't even think Thanos has any of the gems right now, because I think they were all sitting with a bunch of, like, superheroes.
Yeah, the Illuminati, the Avengers.
Yeah, like,
Illuminati.
All the Illuminati had it, like, Xavier had the Mind one, and, like, Tony Stark had, like, one of the, I don't know.
Black Bolt.
Yeah. A cool character that they don't do nearly enough with.
Did you read the epilogue issue with your favorite character, Henry Pym?
No, God no. Why the hell would I read that? Because that's the lead into AI, isn't it? Oh my God, something needs to be done about all these robots.
Yeah, they don't mention Ultron in this one either. So.
What other robots in the Marvel Universe are there?
There's the Vision.
There's Vision. Is that Shard? On the cover?
There's a Doctor Doom robot.
Well, yeah, okay. So, like, there's Doombots, there's Vision, there was Ultron was a robot. I guess, like...
Victor from the Runaways is one of the others.
Victor from the Runaways, really? Because I think that one there, I think that's Bishop's sister.
Oh, okay. They haven't mentioned her name yet.
Because Bishop's sister, like, from the future, like, Bishop was a time traveler from, like, a world screwed up and taken over by Sentinels because everybody hates mutants.
Right.
Well, he also had a sister, and she was a mutant, too, and she eventually time travels back in time, too. She's killed and made into, like, a hard light hologram.
Oh, okay.
So, she is... like, basically, all her memories and that were uploaded into a hologram, and she worked with X-Factor for a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think I'll be picking up issue 2 of Avengers AI. I admit, I picked it up because the cover was cute. I found
the cover's that Avengers Babies versus X Babies art style. Yeah. And
Scotty Young, I believe, is the artist. And I thought, okay, this might be an interesting read. I actually like Henry Pym, to be honest. But it wasn't...
I guess somebody has to.
It wasn't... One of the first comics I ever got was a Marvel team-up where Yellowjacket teamed up with Spider-Man. And I remember asking my aunt to make me a Yellowjacket costume.
See, some of my first experiences with Henry Pym were one, because in the 90s he was kicking around his giant man, like, and I'm like, okay, it's a big dude, like, it was in the middle of the Onslaught saga, I'm like, man, big giant dude, he should be able to take on these Sentinels no problem. Didn't do anything the entire series, like, did not see him. Like, I think he spent a lot of his time off panel working on technology for them to fight, like, like, there'd be cutaways and it's like Henry Pym and Tony Stark are working on anti-psionic technology and be like, hi guys, like, and then they did the Heroes Reborn and he spent most of that series shrunk down and lost inside the Vision.
That's right. Okay.
And I'm like, so, you're doing nothing, you have no antagonist, and you're screwing yourself over. You truly are a hero of heroes.
Oh, man.
Like, I at least, like, I respect the Atom over in DC, because he's been able to do shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, I've never been a fan of, like...
That's cool.
And that ridiculous Ant-Man trailer, where, like, the, like, tiny bee knocks out security guard. Like,
oh, yeah.
Anyways. So, yeah. No, I did not check out The Avengers Robotics one.
Yeah.
I guess there's a couple other... Because they've got Danger over in the X-Men side, which is the, like, artificial intelligence of the Danger Room. It got a body.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. it started killing all the X-Men, because it's like, oh, I'm kind of tired of my... Because they'd programmed it to kill the X-Men. And eventually, as time went on, it just went, yeah, I'm kind of limited every time you guys shut down the program that I don't get to kill you. So I'm going to slowly develop artificial intelligence, build myself a body, and start killing you guys.
That kind of makes sense in a weird way, though.
Well, because it was using, like, it was Xavier using Shi'ar technology before he really understood what the hell it was, and, yeah, it just tried to kill him. I believe it's teamed up with Magneto right now. Okay. I don't know.
And let's not forget Machine Man.
Why do you bring these things up, Jay?
Because I like to be an old nerd.
Apparently.
With his cool purple body.
I was going to say, like, oh, man, do we get, like, the Spider Slayers in here, too?
All right, so we both were not fans of Age of Ultron. I say don't even wait for the trade. Just don't,
no,
don't
just
do it.
No, just don't bother with it. Like, I don't see how... At least with some of the other events, like, I mean, if you go back... like, Secret Invasion, I mean, that led into a big change in the Marvel Universe because you had Tony Stark on the run and Norman Osborn in charge. And
yes.
Then you had, like... I mean, like... Dark Reign, I mean, that eventually led into something. Even Fear itself had some repercussions mm-hmm. going forward. And Avengers vs. X-Men, I mean, that had a huge fallout recently.
Yeah.
This appears to have had no impact on the Marvel Universe at all. Like, two people know something happened, and one of them doesn't even know the whole story because he killed the version of himself that did know everything that happened. And I want to know how the hell Wolverine killed himself. That's that off-panel stuff that I want to know how he did it. Clearly he knows his own weakness, but...
Could he have chopped off the other Wolverine's head, or...
Well, because from what I understand, I think it was in, like, the Xavier protocols of, like, how you have to kill Wolverine... And you basically, like, have to separate the head from the body by, like, degrees of miles.
Right. Oh, okay.
Otherwise, he's just gonna, like, the body's just gonna grow a long enough neck to reattach itself and then fix it. Like,
I've seen him come out of some crazy situations, though.
He's regenerated from a lump of brain tissue being burned up in the sun. Like, there's not a lot I think he can do to himself.
Right.
So unless they're planning on having second Wolverine run around at some point, there's no lasting effects to this universe whatsoever.
Yeah. All right, folks, we'll stay away from that one, and we're going to take a quick break and come back with some more reviews.
Hold on, true believers. There's more We Got the Geek after these words.
Face front, true believers. John Vollmer is an independent artist and illustrator. He has contributed to several indie comics published by Alterna Comics and more, and is able to draw in many styles and genres. John also does commission work in sizes ranging from 3x5 inches to 11x17 inches and even larger. Add some original art to your personal collection or surprise someone with a drawing just for them. Check out his work at drawnbyjohn.com and his Facebook group, Drawn by John, The Art of John J.C. Vollmer.
All right, we are back. Welcome back to the show, Hunter.
Thank you.
So after that lovely rant, we'll get into some other comics.
Not quite Archie Return to Riverdale level, but I hope I
Oh, yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
All right, so... Well, let's go a little bit different,
hop over to DC.
Well, you gave me a couple today, and I actually read them today. One was Trinity of Sin Pandora, issue 1. She's that lady that showed up in the background of all the first issues.
Yeah, so in all the first issues of the 52 relaunch, everybody noticed this woman in a hood that seemed to be following everybody around. And it's like, oh my god, who the hell's this? And everybody thought she was somehow going to be connected with getting the universe back to the way it was before Flashpoint.
She did show up a couple times since then, and in one of the issues it was implied that she knew how it used to be before the Flashpoint
Which, event. Given the backstory that we get in this issue here, it sounds like she knows pretty much, like, she's aware of every change that's ever been made to this universe.
Yeah.
Which is cool. And I like the mythology of this. I like the... We get another sort of Vandal Savage-esque character. Somebody from long, long, long ago. And they get exposed to weird magic and now they're immortal.
Yes.
But I like the idea that, I mean, her name is Pandora. And they very much do tie her into the mythology of Pandora's box.
Yep, she lets loose these seven deadly sins. And all havoc is released. It's kind of a decent read. It's going to lead into the
Trinity War.
Yeah, big JLA crossover this summer.
Yeah, I want to know who the other two are, because I guess like they've had their own issues going on.
The other two,
well, because in it, it's her and two other people that are cursed all at the same time.
Well, I can tell you right now, because they actually showed this in the DC last year. 2012, they had the free comic book day.
Oh, okay.
And they said who the other three were. That was a scene right from that book. One of them was the Phantom Stranger.
Okay.
The other one, and I don't know how to handle this, because it was one of my favorite characters in the old continuity, the Question.
Really?
Yeah, they made this guy with no face, and he's shown up a couple times since this.
Huh. So not the new, like, Rene Montoya Question?
It's the Vic Sage Question, and he's dressed the same way, like, with the suit.
Like the blue suit and the hat.
But totally different origin, obviously.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's the Trinity of Sin.
Yeah, it would give you kind of an interesting look into why he's so paranoid of, like, government institutions.
Yeah.
If he's been alive the whole time in the same way that she has...
They showed him in the back of one of the Justice League comics running around fighting crime.
Well, I wonder if they're going to tie the other two into the mythology the same way they sort of tie her in with the Pandora's Box, Lilith mythology.
Right.
I do like that she meets up with Vandal Savage, because, I mean, Vandal Savage, one of my, like, I happen to enjoy him as a DC villain. Like, just somebody who's just been around so long, and you just... If Lex Luthor is the kind of guy that can sit there and plan and try and scheme, this is the guy that's like, what, you don't want to take like a couple hundred years to get that plan going? Like, I got all the time in the world. Yeah. Like, we live in an age of superheroes right now. If I want to, I'll just wait for all these guys to die and then I'll do my thing.
Oh, yeah, I've read great stories about him in the past and even the future.
So. Oh, yeah.
He was in the DC 1 million series back in the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, he was part of, like, Superman at Earth's End, I believe. He was in there because he had, like, reformed. He was part of the Return of Bruce Wayne when Bruce Wayne was hopping around through time because you get Vandal Savage.
He was just in the JLA Doom animated DVD.
Yep. And he had, like, he's had some really good, like, I like him as a villain. Oh, like, I like somebody that's able to just go... I'm immortal. I don't care. Like,
yeah.
Oh no, put me in jail for 25 years. Woohoo! Life sentence! Huh. But,
yeah.
No, I like the exchange they have. It's like, I will never have a conversation with you. Never is a very, very long time. Like, I'm going to be here. Let me just finish running these crusades. go ahead.
Oh, man.
So it's interesting. I mean, I like getting a little bit of the backstory to that character if she is. A big part of sort of the new 52 universe.
So. Yeah. That was an interesting read. I'm glad you had me read it, and it's going to be interesting to see how she plays into the JLA.
Well, because that was the thing. Like, I mean, she'd always, like, she'd shown up. We hadn't really gotten a lot of answers about her, so to finally maybe start getting them.
2 years later.
Two years later, they probably, when they sat down to do New 52, they went, okay, we need at least, like, 2 years of storylines to go for.
Yeah, it makes sense. The other one you had me read was Superior Foes of Spider-Man issue 1.
Yeah, I'll apologize straight up for that one.
It had its moments, but nothing to really make me want to read issue 2.
I feel like nothing happened in it.
Not really.
Like, it was just the guy, and he's like, yeah, I'm building a new Sinister Six. Yeah, I know there's only five of us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we're, like, the worst villains... Pretty much.
Boomerang.
I did enjoy some of the scenes with, like, Speed Demon and Shocker trying to get to the guy's apartment with, like, the bird seed.
That was kind of fun.
Be like, I don't have the keys. Do you have the keys? Ugh, fine. Zoom. Ah, it was unlocked the whole time. He yells at the girl while he's robbing the pet store. Like, that's a terrible name for a dog. I'm stealing this. So I just didn't feel like... Because we've gotten the splash page for this in the back of, like, almost every Superior Spider-Man for, like, the last 4 or 5 issues.
Yes.
And I kept looking for it. And then we had the recent Superior Spider-Man storyline with Alistair Smythe and his robot sort of giving upgrades to Scorpion, Vulture, and Boomerang is one of them. Thought that with the superior foes of Spider-Man, the reason it had waited so long is because it was waiting for this sort of upgrade to happen to him in Superior Spider-Man. So the idea that maybe after he's upgraded, he's going to try and use some of that technology to upgrade a bunch of other people, and that's what would make them superior.
Yeah, they're not superior.
There is nothing superior about them in any way, shape, or form. Even the Chameleon, who I happen to generally like, just sort of is like, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks for the bag of birdseed diamonds.
Yeah.
Oh, right, they're fake. Sorry.
Oh, jeez.
So, for the lead-up and the amount of time that they had been showing this off, nothing happened. Like, I don't know.
Whole lot of nothing.
So I really hope Superior Carnage doesn't crud out the same way. Because they've also been building that one up for a while. And
oh, yeah. Well, let's hope not.
Yeah, I mean, you do so well, and then you just apparently also have to make terrible comics as well. Must be a quota to meet.
Are you up to date on Superior Spider-Man?
I'm up to date on Superior Spider-Man.
So the last couple issues, Otto Octavius / Spider-Man has been at the... Is it the Raft?
It is the Raft. They're getting ready to shut down the Raft, and they are running the last sort of death sentences for one of the last inmates, Alistair Smythe, the Spider Slayer.
Yeah, and he's recently killed J. Jonah Jameson's wife back when Parker was still Spider-Man.
Yep.
The interesting thing here is J. Jonah Jameson is pleading with Spider-Man to make sure he dies that day.
Yes.
No matter what.
And I like the recording. I have a feeling, like, Spider-Man, like, yep, I got everything I needed from you, Mr. Mayor, and you just cut to a shot of one of the spider cameras, and I'm like, oh, this is good. But, I'm really hoping. I know the cover of the next one looks like the Lizard and Spider-Man team up, but I just want to see, like, J. Jonah Jameson go all diehard on the Raft. Like,
yeah, he's sneaking around right now.
He's sneaking around. No, I like the idea that... the idea that, oh, man, like, oh, it's my death sentence. I'm going to have an escape plan. And Spider-Man's like, nope, not that one. Oh, well, I've got plan B. No, you don't.
That was great.
I have plan C. No. It was great. And it was really, like, it was Octavius sort of showing off. Like, Spider-Man, if he had been there, or, like, Peter Parker would have just been like, yeah, I'll come to show up. And, oh, things went wrong? Oh, I guess I'll sort of have to stumble my way into helping. And then you got Octavius who sends his spider robots, and he's like, so if you're seeing this, I mean, Smythe broke out. I've got this covered, don't worry. I need all of you to stand together. I am going to protect potential hostages. So he's thinking ahead, and I really like it. But then we get Smythe upgrading 3 people that this new Superior Spider-Man had been beating up on. I mean, he punched off the jaw of the Scorpion and
blinded the Vulture.
Blinded the Vulture and threw him into the spider signal on the roof. And then I guess he, like, just beat up Boomerang.
Yeah.
Was it Boomerang or was it one of those stupid viral video kids?
Oh,
maybe it wasn't Boomerang. Maybe that was my mistake.
No, it's him. He's on the cover.
Oh.
Yeah, it's Boomerang.
Yeah. So he's sort of upgrading him, all these guys, and I love the sort of ending to the next one. It's like, ha-ha, I'm going to send my henchmen to kill J. Jonah Jameson and the hostages. Which ones will you protect, Spider-Man? None of them?
Vulture actually looks badass.
I really like the look to the Scorpion, too.
Yeah.
I really like that look to the Scorpion. I hope he keeps it for a while.
Yeah, I'm still digging.
I mean, I want to know sort of specifically what got upgraded. It's kind of vague, but no, I like it. I like where it's going. I guess at the end of this sort of arc, we've got a costume change to Spider-Man. He's going to get some new slippers.
The suit looks pretty decent, actually.
The suit looks cool. It looks like it's very reminiscent of the Ben Reilly one, so I wonder if, because he's supposed to meet up with Scarlet Spider, they're doing that intentionally, or maybe. Octavius just going, I'm going to separate myself from the Peter Parker Spider-Man as much as I can, and he's going to keep upgrading the costume.
I'm excited because I just heard Dan Slott and Ryan Stegman, the writer and artist, are both going to be at Fan Expo this year.
Are they really?
Yeah, I would love to get them to sign issue one.
I was going to say, I might pick up the trade and just try and get them to sign that because I guess they're putting the first six and then the last two of Amazing into a trade.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's very good so far. I'm looking forward to seeing him clash with Scarlet Spider.
Can't wait, because he killed him Scarlet Spider killed Octavius in the 90s.
Yep.
He was later brought back.
Yes, by his wife and ninjas.
Yes. Go Google that.
Yep. We're not lying. Like, he really gets brought back by ninjas.
Yeah. And in the meantime, there was a lady octopus running around at the time.
Yes, she had purple hair and was stupid.
And on that note, let's take a break. We'll be right back with some more reviews.
And now, a word from our sponsors.
Mostly Comics has been serving the Niagara region for over 30 years. The store sells a variety of comics and entertainment-related products, including graphic novels, toys, and collectibles. Mostly also purchases rare comics upon appraisal. Visit Kim and the Gang at 413 St. Paul Street in St. Catharines, or check out their website at www.mostlycomics.com.
All right, we're back. Me and Hunter are sitting here, and we were just making fun of Lady Octopus from the 90s. Great, great lame villain.
Yeah. There have been some great, like, terrible reboot villains.
That is for sure. She was the worst.
But speaking of villains that they brought back, did you get a chance to read Detective Comics 22 then?
I haven't seen that one yet, but what was that all about?
So what it is now is, I guess, they're bringing back a I guess it's an old villain from, like, the 70s or whatever, but they're doing a new storyline.
Okay.
With bringing him back. So the storyline that they've got now is basically somebody's going around killing cops in Gotham, like, specifically targeting police officers. And his name is Wrath. And he's basically sort of hiring kids to be sidekicks and run around doing his dirty work for him. While at the same time, there's a new sort of big corporation, like big weapon seller corporation that's moved into Gotham that wants to purchase Wayne Corp. Or Wayne Enterprises. So Batman and Bruce Wayne both sort of have a new villain. I mean, whether or not they turn out to be the same person, I hope not. It seems a little on the nose, but yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It'll get me reading that one again, because I like seeing Batman be Batman and not be crying, my son is dead.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, yeah, I feel bad, but he'll be back in a couple months, so get over it.
He'll have a new Robin soon.
Yeah, I haven't seen whether or not this girl is still coming along to be that Robin, but I had heard about the new villain, I had heard good things about this issue, and it was a good read, so.
Alright, have to check that out.
It looks like it's a nice, like, direction for Batman to go.
That's good. Good. I've just been reading the regular title with the year zero they're doing right now.
Oh, because they're flashing back to
back when he started.
When he started. So I wonder if we finally get this sort of timeline then, because we talked about it on past issues of where the events of Batman's past now fit in with the new 52, and we had sort of like mapped out.
It takes place 6 years ago, it says.
Okay. I'll have to take a read of that.
And he hasn't gotten a costume yet, but he's already proven himself to be a master of disguise. He's got a whole suitcase full of rubber masks and costumes in the trunk of his car.
Matches Malone.
That's got to be coming.
I would hope so, because that's like his big man-on-the-street persona, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Even in the cartoons.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of the cartoons, did you see the trailer for the new Beware the Batman?
Haven't watched it yet. I saw a couple clips from it a few weeks ago.
Looks weird. I mean, like, the style is very angular.
Yeah. I know they're using some weird villains in it. Professor
Pig. Yeah, I don't think... I think Professor Pig was the only one out of the villains that I saw in the trailer that I recognized.
There's a frog guy, too.
The frog guy, and then there was a ninja. She looked a little like Silver Sable from the Marvel universe.
It's Katana.
Is it actually?
Yeah.
Huh.
She's sort of his sidekick in this. There's no Robins or Nightwing or anything like that. Alfred has machine guns. I still don't get that. I'll check it out. I'm sure.
Why not?
Geez, I even watched that. What was it called a few years ago? The Batman.
Yeah, The Batman, which was interesting because they introduced Batgirl before they introduced Robin.
They did, yeah.
And Batgirl and Poison Ivy were like BFFs.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was interesting. Then they brought Robin in and it just got weird because then it became Batman team-up.
Yeah, because in the last season they had all different episodes of him teaming up with various Justice
League. Yeah, and it was just like, hey, we just got like... It seemed like just a darker version of Batman Brave and the Bold.
Yes.
Which was funny, because Batman Brave and the Bold was on TV at the same time.
Yeah.
So it was just really weird. I don't know. I didn't like Batman Brave and the Bold, but... Speaking of that style of Batman, though, they've apparently got Batman 60s, number one.
I saw it. And the kid wants to collect that, actually.
I haven't read it. Apparently, it sort of brings back the camp value of the 60s one.
Yeah.
So if you have not gotten your fill of an Adam West Batman in some time... Or Burt Ward in very, very, very small shorts.
Do they even draw the Joker with a mustache? Because Cesar Romero refused to shave and just painted over it.
I can believe that the Joker is crazy enough to just paint over it.
Yeah, I guess.
Or the chemicals that he exposes himself to just causes hair to grow in white, too.
Yeah, sure.
Why not?
No, I'm going to check that out. I know Diana is really excited for it. So
that's really,
I grew up watching that show.
Oh, I loved that show growing up. Because, man, you got, like, the most elaborate death traps ever. And it just reminds you every time of, like, Scott Evil from Austin Powers going, no, I got a gun in my room.
Exactly.
I will come back here. We will kill him together. Like,
the first one I ever remember watching, they had Robin and a giant clam. And the clam was slowly chomping down on him.
Yep. There was also... I mean, some of the death traps that I remember was the quicksand cake.
Yeah, you told me about that one.
The Robin over top of a crocodile pit with a plank that he was standing on slowly being retracted into the wall.
I remember that one.
There was a giant hourglass.
Mm-hmm.
There was... what was it? It was a swinging, like, there was, like, this swinging basket going back and forth over, I think it was spikes, and they were burning the rope slowly that, like, they would, like, splat themselves on the spikes or it was like a swinging blade. And to be fair, I think MacGyver did the escaping the swinging blade trick better.
It was a two-parter.
It was a two-parter. I enjoyed it. See, I get to bring back to MacGyver whenever I can for you.
Nice, thank you.
But, yeah, there was some weird ones. There was one where they were, like, in suits of armor and got dumped in a trash compactor or, like, some really, really crazy ideas. And you just have to respect them for going all out. Oh, yeah.
I loved it when I was a kid, though, man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, as a kid, you're like, what's going to happen? What do you mean I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow at the same bat time? No! I need to know how they got out of this.
How's he going to get out of the cake?
What happens if I'm ever stuck in a cake, Mother? How am I ever going to know how to get out of this?
Oh, geez. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow. So... You also read Superman Unchained?
I did read Superman Unchained.
I want to hear your thoughts, because I like the art, and that's about all I can
say. I've always enjoyed Jim Lee. Like, that's why I picked this one up when I found he was drawing it. I've always enjoyed his art. There's some gorgeous splash pages in this. I mean, I hate All-Star Batman and Robin, but the art in that is beautiful. Oh, like, sure. It's gorgeous art, but... So for this, there's some great pages of him, like, flying through that space station. Mm-hmm. But I love the beginning, like, the play on the it's a bird, it's a plane thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it all just leads to this sort of, I guess, kind of ending with Lois's dad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to be fair, like, I hadn't been following any of the Superman comics. I didn't realize he quit working at the Daily
Planet. See, I stopped a few months back, so I didn't know that either.
Yeah, so I didn't know, like, I mean, I guess he's running his own, like, blog. I guess he's, like, a blog reporter now. Yeah. This is what I'm getting from reading it. Like,
yeah.
And Lois apparently works for S.H.I.E.L.D. and has a bunch of holograms sitting around, because, you know, the Daily Planet can afford holograms.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of newspapers that are doing well enough that they can do that.
I didn't like the fact that the poster was part of the story. There's a poster in the middle of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just... Yeah.
I'll stick around. I like Scott Snyder. He's writing like Batman as well.
I like the look of the new villain. Like, the new villain that they've got set up, and I want to see what they do with it, considering the history that they're saying, like, sort of, like, the past 75 years.
Yeah.
This has been going on, so... It's always interesting, because I think they've done this sort of government secretly building technology to kill Superman before.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to know what they're doing with this one.
Yeah,
I mean, I think I'll take a look at it. I think the funny thing was, when you had mentioned Superman Unchained, I'm like, oh, I'll go ahead and download this. And then I downloaded Superman, the movie. The newest animated film.
Oh,
by mistake.
Okay.
Unbound.
Yeah.
Unbound. And I'm like, oh, all right, I guess I'll watch this. And I'm like, all right, a couple of people from Castle are doing voices. Supergirl. Weird art style in that.
I haven't seen it yet, but...
An interesting movie. Just sort of weird. I mean, it's an interesting take on the sort of Brainiac and the Kandor story, and you get some neat moments with Supergirl.
Yeah, it's based on a Geoff Johns story, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I've read so many variations on what Brainiac is and where he comes from, I have a hard time keeping accurate which one is supposed to be the main one.
Yeah.
So I didn't know if I'm like, oh, this is very accurate to the comics, or... What? This is totally off. But, yeah, no, it was interesting.
Cool. I guess the next one is the Flashpoint.
Yes, which is we've been waiting for a while now.
Yeah. I think it comes out later this month, actually. They're going to debut it at San Diego Comic-Con in 3 weeks.
Ah, alrighty then.
We should be getting some, like, awesome announcements out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, because you've got to get more announcements about all the, like, Trinity War and Infinity War and Infinity Trinity and all these crossover events.
Oh, yeah.
Well, with the breaking of the space-time continuum, maybe the Superman can go into the Marvel Universe, if a Spawn villain can.
All right. I would love to see another DC-Marvel crossover. They haven't had one since JLA Avengers.
I don't know what you'd do with that. Right now, I mean, I guess it would have to be better than Robin versus Jubilee, but
yeah. To be fair, though, at the time, most of the Marvel characters had been transported into that Franklin Richards universe.
Yes, yeah.
So they had Spider-Man, Doctor Strange, and Jubilee.
Had the Avengers still, because I think it was right before, wasn't it?
That miniseries. Okay.
Well, maybe
Are you thinking Marvel versus DC?
I'm thinking Marvel versus DC.
Okay. Yeah, that one was okay. There was a shorter miniseries after that, where Jubilee had to make her way back to the other universe to be with Robin, and that's when they didn't have many characters available at the time.
Okay. See, my major problem with that comes down to sort of like the Superman versus Hulk fight, and it's like, okay, Superman's strong. I get that. But the Hulk, like, his only power, more or less, is being strong.
Yeah.
And the idea that the angrier he gets, the stronger he gets. And I think it would have been interesting if you had Superman, like, in the fight, Superman just beats him straight up, just, like, punches him out. And you're like, really? Like, I mean, you took away the only thing that could have given Hulk the edge in the fight, and just completely took it away. No, Superman's stronger.
And that fight should have taken at least a whole issue, not just one page.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, you could have played with that so much where all of a sudden Hulk is stronger than Superman, and now Superman has to go, okay, now maybe I have to use all my other, like, 19 dozen powers to figure out how to beat this guy, like my freeze breath, or my heat vision, or my x-ray vision, or my rainbow fingers, which is a power.
Is it really?
It was a power in the 70s. There is a comic cover that has Superman shooting rainbow out of his fingertips. I will show it to you in
the break. It's worse than the cellophane S that he ripped off his shirt in Superman.
It is worse than the super cellophane S. I would have bought him pulling off the cellophane S to try and beat the Hulk, because it would have at least been a nice nod to Superman 2. Like, instead, nope, just punches out the Hulk. Like, I win in a fist fight. Like, there's no, like, Hulk is mindless punching machine. Superman is a thinking, calculating, strategizing guy with a lot of powers. You could have done something interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, even the Batman versus Captain America fight in the sewers was interesting. Like, you got, like, Batman, like, throwing batarangs at pipes to, like, blast steam in Steve Rogers' face. Like, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's each of them using their own sort of tricks. And this was just, I punch you. Oh, I punched you harder. Okay, I win.
Yeah.
I never liked that about Superman. If they're, like, he's already so many other people's powers, at least let some people, like, at least they let the Flash be faster than him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have let a Hulk be bit stronger than him. Or even if the Hulk doesn't start out stronger than Superman, but he gets angry because he can't punch Superman, and then starts getting stronger, and Superman has to adapt.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my mini rant about
DC versus Marvel. There's been better DC Marvel crossovers, though.
Oh, the Superman Spider-Man one I remember from the, I think it was the early 80s.
There was one in the mid 70s and one in the early 80s.
Like, Lex Luthor and Doc Ock, like, gave magic powers to Spider-Man so he could.
Yeah.
And then they, like, wore off halfway through the fight and he, like, breaks his hand on Superman.
Yeah, that was great.
That was hilarious.
There was a pretty good X-Men New Teen Titans one in the early 80s as well.
See, the only X-Men crossovers I've read recently are, like, X-Men and Star Trek.
Yeah. No, this was better than
that.
Really
weird.
There's some real good artwork from Walt Simonson in that one, and Dark Phoenix and Dark Side were the villains, which was pretty cool. I think Deathstroke showed up for a bit in it as well.
We'll have to talk about Dark Phoenix when we come back from the break.
Let's do that, because it's break time, kids, so stay tuned.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
Hey, K2 here from We Got the Geek. Not only am I your favorite podcaster, but I'm also your Scentsy independent consultant. Scentsy offers a safe, wickless alternative to scented candles. We sell ceramic warmers that use a low wattage light bulb to warm our specially formulated wax cubes infused with fragrance. With over 80 scents available, I'm sure you'll find a few favorites. We also offer stuffed animals that have a scent pack included, broom sprays, travel tins for your car or locker, and our new Layers line of fragrance that lets you build a new fragrance wardrobe layer by layer, from your skin to your clothes. Contact me for a catalog, to smell some yummy samples, or to book a party. We're also hiring. Ask me about joining my team. Email me at kstu.wickless@me.com or on my website, kstu.sensi.ca.
All right, we are back, and holy crap, yeah, Superman had a rainbow shooting out of his hands.
I will post the link to the cover of that comic when this episode goes live in the group, so.
It looks as ridiculous as you might think.
Oh, yeah, and everybody is so astounded at, like, this power, like.
And on the cover it says, holy, Superman's new powers are fantastic. And
Great Scott, like. Apparently Emmett Brown is a big Superman fan.
Those powers are heavy.
Yeah. but yes, so yeah, Superman has had some really crazy powers. And
oh, geez, I thought the freeze breath was bad enough.
Well, freeze breath, I mean, I could... I might be able to buy, because it's like, okay, it's part of the strength. Like, I can take a really big breath and expel it, like, and create a big force of wind. Like, I mean, that... I'll give you that. Like, I mean, it makes more sense than, like, heat vision.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, heat vision, like, okay, I guess I store a bunch of solar energy in my eyes and shoot it out?
Yeah, okay. All right.
I mean, like, some of the powers you can try and go, like, okay, X-ray vision. I mean, maybe Kryptonian eyes have, like, a few more rods and cones in there, and they get to see a little bit further in the spectrum than we can. I mean, that's fine.
I can buy that.
Yeah. I can buy that. Like, that's just biology. I mean, the freeze breath, that's the strength. The flight. I mean, a lot of people have said, like, the flight is probably, like, not really leaping tall buildings, but it could have something to do with him being able to manipulate, like, his own magnetic field to...
I've heard,
like,
that theory.
...push and pull himself around, which I think is kind of cool. Like,
yeah.
It explains why he can still fly in space.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Heat vision is always one of those weird ones, because I guess it's supposed to be, like, solar-powered and...
Alright.
But, yeah, no, Rainbow Fingers... It was a thing. We'll see if it comes back. Maybe he uses it against Batman in the Batman-Superman crossover.
Maybe that'll be his power in Man of Steel 2.
Oh my god, could you imagine? Alright, Henry, so in this next scene, we're going to want you to, like, whip out your fingers and blast rainbow energy at this Brainiac.
Jeez.
Played by Neil Patrick Harris. I don't know.
Alright. So let's talk about a comic that was actually good. All New X-Men issue 13.
Yes. So All New X-Men has been continuing to be really impressive. Because we've had this sort of side storyline with Mystique, Sabretooth, and Lady Mastermind running around just robbing banks. And you're like, this seems pretty standard for villains. What are they going to do with all that money? Why not buy an island? From Hydra. Because, you know, if I got a bunch of money, I would buy a black market trade island. And, I mean, it seems like a good plan. I mean, if you just want to get out of world politics and you want to get out of the way of all the anti-mutant stuff going on, sure, go ahead and buy an island.
Yeah.
That's neat. I mean, we get a little bit more of the kid version of the X-Men going, what the hell? Like, did you know he was like this? No, did you? Tony Stark is Iron Man?
That was awesome.
That was great. I'm like, I guess he's pretending to be his own bodyguard. Really weird. Like, I thought that was nice. Like, because I like them, like, mentioning stuff that we take for granted now.
Yeah.
That you think, like, that time, like, nobody had any idea.
Now I'm not up to date on my X-Men. But I guess the early versions of the X-Men didn't know Scott Summers had a brother?
No, because at that point in time, he hadn't met his brother yet.
Oh, okay.
He knew he had a brother, but he thought his brother died.
Okay.
Because basically what had happened was, aliens came down and attacked him, his mom, his dad, and his brother while they were in a plane. And he and his brother jumped from the plane with the only parachute on board.
Okay.
But when they landed, like, Scott was knocked out in the landing and thought his brother died. Like, he basically woke up in the orphanage that he spent the next few years in and thought his brother had died. Like,
okay.
The people at the orphanage, from what I understand, told him, like, no, there was no brother there. But I think what ended up happening was they were just sent to different orphanages. And then Havoc ended up being discovered by somebody else, and then eventually, like, came to the X-Men, but that it took a while for them to realize that they were brothers. I think, like, they tried to use their powers against each other, and it didn't work, which is the get-out-of-jail-free card for mutant powers in the Marvel Universe. If I have the same DNA as you, your powers don't hurt me.
All right.
Which seems really weird, but it comes up quite often, actually. Because Banshee and Black Tom Cassidy, like, they can't. They just have to resort to Irish fisticuffs to fight, and I love it.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so, like, I mean, they didn't know. Like, from what I understand, like, this group of X-Men is maybe, like, a couple issues in. Like,
yeah. Sounds like it's way early.
It's way early. Like, they're like, we just faced off against Magneto. I'm like, yeah, that was issue one. Sure.
Oh, man. They mentioned they were, like, 15 years old in this, yeah. I guess.
So, I mean, like, they're missing all the awesome high school storylines from the old X-Men. But, yeah, and then we've got, like, Proto Jean Grey learning more and more about her psychic abilities, which I think is sort of progressing faster than I expect, because it took so long for her to develop them in the main series, because it was mostly because Xavier had blocked them all on her.
Oh, okay.
Well, because what had happened is he sort of, like, found her when she was really young, and she was traumatized by the use of her powers, and one of the things was she was traumatized by her own telepathy, where when she was really young, when her powers first manifested, her best friend was hit by a car, and she psychically experienced the entire car crash from her friend's perspective, and it drove her insane. And so her parents called Xavier, and he used his telepathy to lock hers out and block hers so that, like, she was just using her telekinesis.
Okay.
And then, like, as time went on, like, he helped unlock it because he needed help with an alien invasion. Because aliens were coming, and he needed to hide himself out in an anti-psychic room. And he needed Jean Grey to stay with him, and so he's like, yeah, you're also a telepath. Here's your psychic powers. But they wrote it at the time as, like, I'm sharing my psychic powers with you. And it took time to eventually reveal that, no, these were, like, yours the whole time. I just sort of unlocked them again.
Okay.
But
It looks like she's discovering a really frightening power this early in the game.
Yes.
Of her life.
Which is funny, given, like, the sort of last crossover and the repercussions of that, she shouldn't be able to access those powers, from what I understand.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking it's an illusion.
Okay.
Because Lady Mastermind is all a good old-fashioned revenge story we got going on here, where you killed my daddy. Well, future you killed my daddy in the past, so I'm gonna get revenge, and I do appreciate that.
Okay. Yeah, still a really, really interesting read, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's going very well. I did not know what to expect when they first said, like, hey, we're gonna bring the past X-Men to the future. And
I think I remember you saying, well, this should last 4 issues.
Well, yeah, because it's, like, when you just say that, you have no plan. Like, but I think they've done a really good job of going, hey, we're going to try and recapture some of those early ideals and add them to the sort of cynicism of the mutant life that we've found ourselves in. And I think it's nice, because, I mean, if you have, like, I mean, Xavier died, you have to sort of find some way of getting them back almost on track of, like, their mission statement.
Yeah.
So they've lasted way longer than I thought. I thought it was going to be, I could have maybe thought of it as like a 6 to 8 issue arc, but
right.
The fact that it's sort of lasted as long as it has, I mean, good on them. There's a really nice character moment with Kitty Pryde talking about being Jewish and being a mutant. And
right.
Really nice, like, story. Like, you don't get a lot of character moments like that, especially in big team stories where you've got so many characters running around. Like, especially with, like, the 5 former X-Men, you've got, like, Wolverine.
Yeah, and he's in there.
Kitty Pryde, and then you also are dealing with this new Mystique storyline, and so, good on them. I think they're doing a good job, and I'm going to keep reading as long as they're going to write this story.
Yeah, me too.
Which is the opposite of what I'll say about the X-Ladies. I have no desire to read the second issue of that. And
Kat's going to give issue 2 another try and see what she thinks.
I might give it a try. I don't have my hopes up. Because, we've already talked about that.
Oh, one, we have.
But yeah, no, I think there's a lot of hits recently. I mean, like, I think I would encourage you to read Batman. I think it's going to be a good one, but
I'm going to check that out, definitely.
Superior Spider-Man, still firing very well. All new X-Men, firing really well. Superman, I mean, it's interesting enough. We'll see where they go with it. Age of Ultron, big flop.
Yeah. Fingers crossed for Infinity.
Yeah, I hope so. We'll see what happens, because if it stays to just, like, sort of an Avengers storyline, or if it ends up going out across all the issues, I think that'll...
I think it is, actually. I think it's a major crossover this time out.
Well, because technically Age of Ultron had, like, a big fault. Like, they had a bunch of, like, side issues of, like...
Yeah, not very many, though, which was cool.
Which is fine. I mean, like, especially if you're prepping for, like, a really big event. Like, Avengers versus X-Men, they had a bunch of side stuff with that. So, it seems like they sort of go on and off, like, big, big year, sort of off, like, event year. Like, so, yeah, Infinity... If it's going to tie into the new movie, I hope they do it well. But
yeah,
we'll see what happens. I'll have to brush up on my past Thanos and the Infinity Gauntlet stories and compare.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you coming down for this today, man.
No, it was fun.
And definitely I recommend more stuff to me. I'll check it out for next time.
For sure.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And... take care.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.